Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing, but the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
It's time for a different take. This is Hometown Take with Dylan Matthews. Every morning starting at 5, we give you the latest local Atlanta news. Sports news doesn't stop, and we're here to get you caught up on the latest Atlanta sports news and more.
The Hometown Take is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Now, here's Dylan.
What's going on, everybody? It is your boy, Dylan Matthews, live in the Kia Studios, giving you the Hometown Take. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. Good Thursday morning to you. Hope you are doing well. Hope your week is going well. We're on the back half now, almost once again to the weekend. You already know what's going down. Shout out to all my truck drivers, overnighters, third shifters. I have to now add Uber drivers to the list. Shout out to my guy Jeff for calling up yesterday, giving me a shout out on the morning shift. I appreciate you, big homie. Hopefully all my late night, early morning Uber drivers are doing well out there and being safe. But we got a lot to get into today. The Atlanta Braves. How about them Braves? Doing the dang thing, just continue to roll. And look, I'm going to say it straight up like this. There's no sugarcoating it. There's no way around it. There's no talking over it, underneath it, beside it. The Atlanta Braves are the best team in baseball. Period. That's it. That's the tweet. The Braves are the best team in baseball. Have not lost a single series in the month of June. If they win on Friday, if they win tomorrow against the Miami Marlins, big series, of course. We'll get into that. But they win on Friday, they will have tied their franchise record for wins in a single month with 21. It'll be the fifth time they've done it. Now, when's the last time you've done it, they asked? How about last June? So not only are the Braves hot right now, but this is what the Braves do. This is the time they turn it on. And historically speaking, this is what a good Braves team does, because back in 2002, they did the same thing. They won 21 games in June. Now, the other two times they've done it was May of 1998 and August of 1999. Those might be flip-flop, might be August 1998, May 1999, but I'm pretty sure I had it right the first time. But the point being, historically speaking, The Braves usually turn it on in June when they're a good team. And they did it last year in June, turning it on, winning 21 games. So this Braves team ain't just hot. This is what the Braves do. This is what a good baseball team does. And the Braves have proven that not only that they're a good baseball team, but they're the best team in baseball. They come in, night out. If you're using yesterday an example, afternoon, they just come in and they get the job done. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. They don't look ahead. They don't overlook opponents. They could have easily been, you know, like, you know what? This is the Twins. We understand they're a first-place ball club. But you know what? They're barely a first-place ball club. Their division's not very good. We should just roll over these guys. Let's look ahead to Miami a little bit. They didn't do that. They took care of business, swept the Twins, and did exactly what they were supposed to do. Sweep them on your home turf in the friendly confines of Truist Park and take care of business. And that's what they've done all season long and most certainly in the month of June. Again, have not lost a single series in the month of June. 20-4 this month. Obviously, that's the best record in baseball for the month of June. And you know what? That's what good teams do. They don't overlook their opponent. They don't play down to their competition. They come out. They beat the teams they're supposed to beat. And when they do come across a good matchup that's maybe right there on their playing field, they take their game to the next level. And that's we've seen the Braves do that as well. Guess what? When they face the red-hot Cincinnati Reds team, what they do? Take their game to the next level. Show that, hey, y'all are good, but we're the big dogs. And we're going to show you what it looks like to be the big dog. Y'all ain't there yet. Y'all are on your way. Kind of reminds you of the Baby Braves back in 2018. But the Baby Braves done grown up. They done grown up, and they the big dogs now. When the Mets came into town and they thought they were on a roll smelling themselves, guess what? Uh-uh. It ain't like that. You ain't like the Braves. You ain't like that. Talking about the big dogs. Phillies, they came in here. Six-game winning streak didn't matter. Because guess what? You were playing the big dogs. You were playing the best team in Major League Baseball. You ain't on that level. So I'm going to be ready for the Braves to take on the Tampa Bay Rays here fairly soon. It's coming up, too, by the way, that series with the Tampa Bay Rays. But speaking of that, if you also want to know why I'm saying the Braves are the best team in baseball, record-wise, Tampa Bay has more wins. But winning percentage-wise, the Braves have now passed the Tampa Bay Rays after their win yesterday against the Minnesota Twins. By the way, Braves win 3-0 if you didn't hear or couldn't catch the early game yesterday. Maybe you were at work. But Braves win 3-0. And again, to me, they've cemented it. They've proven it all throughout this month, all throughout this year. They're the best team in baseball. When they've needed to elevate their game against more of the upper echelon, top-tier opponents, they've done that. And when they've needed to take care of business against the teams they should beat, guess what? They've done that. For example, the Twins. This series, sweeping them. The only time they've stubbed their toe really hard this year is against the Oakland Athletics. And they lost 2 out of 3 to Oakland. Other than that, they've handled business. One series. Beat the good teams. Handle business against the teams that aren't as talented as the Atlanta Braves. So, I think it's quite clear. And again, not saying the Tampa Bay Rays are a bad team. But the Braves are the standard right now. They are the team to beat. They are the best team in baseball. Point blank, period. It's the Hometown Take with your boy Dylan Matthews on a Thursday live in the Kia Studios talking about the Braves. They are the best team in baseball right now. And the other thing about it, too, that really, really cements them as the best team in baseball, they do it in a number of ways. They aren't just reliant on the home run ball. Yesterday, sac fly scored a run. RBI double. A home run was in there to stamp it all off. Matt Olson solo shot. But they aren't just relying on the home run ball. Now, they'll have games where they hit five home runs, like we saw earlier in this series. And they will get all their runs off the home run. But that's not necessary. They don't have to beat you like that. They can beat you in a multitude of ways. So, again, pretty clear that the Braves are the best team in baseball. Let's hear from the manager of the best team in baseball, Brian Snicker. He was talking after the game, and he talked about basically the team not it really just them playing really good, consistent baseball this month. Because, again, haven't lost a series in the month of June, 20-4 this month. Best record in baseball for the month of June. And he talks about how they've been able to accomplish that feat and how they've been able to get that done.
Yeah, they've just been putting together good baseball, you know, probably with the exception of one half inning that happened last night. I mean, we played really good ball games. I mean, total team type things, defense, the at-bats, the bullpen, starting, getting, you know, the most we can out of those guys. You know, it's good, consistent baseball.
Good, consistent baseball. That's what it is. And that's what the Braves play. Good, consistent baseball. And if you hear them talk after the game, you hear Brian Snicker, Matt Olson, Travis d'Arnaud, doesn't matter who it is. They don't get too high. They don't get too low. But they stay even keel, and they focus on the task at hand. And speaking of task at hand, Matt Olson talked about that after the game with Lauren Jabbar of Valley Sports. And he talked about how this team is able to stay in the now. Focus on the task at hand. Focus on the day's task. Focus on what they have to accomplish in the moment.
Because yeah, that's the goal, come out and win series. If you lose a game, come back tomorrow and get them. I feel like we've done a great job of coming back after some losses. Try to keep the sweeps up as much as possible.
Exactly. Because where you get in trouble sometimes, and where good teams get in trouble sometimes, is they feel like they've got an opponent right where they want them. They feel like, they aren't going to do anything. They aren't a threat to us. We're just going to overlook them, and we got to get ready for these other guys that are coming up. Like I talked about just a few minutes ago, Braves could have easily looked over the Minnesota Twins. Even though they are a first-place team, they were a first-place team coming in. They're actually not a first-place team anymore after the Braves swept them. But they could have easily looked over the Twins, knowing that they're a first-place team in a bad division. They got the Marlins coming up Friday. They could have easily looked over them heading into this series. But no, they didn't. Why? Because the best teams take every opponent seriously. The best teams do not play down to their competition. The best teams beat the teams they're supposed to beat. They handle their business. Good, consistent baseball. That's what that is. And that's why there's no doubt in my mind the Braves are the best team in baseball. Point blank, period. You can let me know what you think at underscore Dylan Matthews. You can try to disagree. You can try to say the Tampa Bay Rays, but it's the Braves. The Tampa Bay Rays got off to a hot start, And they've leveled off a little bit, and they're still a really good team. They haven't fallen off or anything. But the Braves have gotten their stride. They're clicking on all cylinders, and they're really like a well-oiled machine right now. And to me, they're just the best. The Braves got off to a hotter start. They hit the ground running a little bit. But once both teams have gotten to their stride, have gotten to the flow of the season, I think it's, again, clear that we see the Braves are, in fact, the best team. It'll be a great World Series matchup, though. Maybe we'll get it. We'll see. All right. About 5 minutes from now, we'll let you hear the highlights from the Braves. Also, we have to talk about a couple of things that have gone down with the Atlanta Falcons. They've made some changes in the front office. We'll tell you about that when we go around the A. It's coming up right here on the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
This is the Hometown Take.
A look at the top local sports stories
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on a Thursday morning. Hope you are doing well. Hope you're having a great week thus far. Look, the Braves, best team in baseball. Simple as that. And with the Braves being the best team in baseball, we got to show them a little extra love here on the Hometown Take this morning. Let's hear some highlights from the Atlanta Braves. Let's take a trip around the A.
It's time for a look at our local sports scene. This is Around the A on the Hometown Take with Dylan Matthews.
So, yesterday was one of those days that the Braves didn't need a lot of offense to get the job done. Only three runs, not a crazy amount of highlights. Really, I'll let you hear the main one, and that was the dagger that the Braves put into the hearts of the Minnesota Twins yesterday. Matt Olson hit himself a solo shot. I will take you through what happened throughout the game and how we got to that Matt Olson home run. So, Coby Allard started yesterday. Very, very solid start. Spot start for him. He goes 4 2/3 innings. Only gives up 3 hits, no runs. Only 1 walk, 8 strikeouts. And Coby Allard, this was a dude who was just in Minnesota for the Stripers, I believe, making a rehab start. Then he gets called up. So he'd been coming off an injury, so he really didn't have a lot of time to really stretch out and prepare himself. And what he was able to do, impressive. Very, very impressive for Coby Allard. Kirby Yates came in, did his thing. Really, the bullpen came in and did their thing. AJ was good. Joe Jimenez was good. And, of course, Raisel Iglesias came in and shut the door. So, starting pitching, bullpen, really good. The offense did what they had to do. Matt Olson had an RBI double in the bottom of the first to score Ronald Acuña Jr. By the way, the Braves now, with the run they scored yesterday in the first inning, the Braves have scored 76 first-inning runs through 80 games. Just to give you a little comparison, the Mets and the Marlins have totaled 47 first-inning runs over 159 combined games. So again, the Braves alone themselves have 76 first-inning runs through 80 games. The Mets and Marlins combined have 47. The Braves get the job done, and they start scoring early, and they did the same thing yesterday afternoon. Again, Matt Olson RBI double made it 1-0. Ozzie Albies hit a sac fly in the bottom of the third to make it 2-0, and then we get to the bottom of the eighth. Matt Olson said, just a little Extra insurance never hurt nobody.
Olsen out to right center field. This one may go. It does go. Matt Olsen, another homer, 26 on the season.
Boy, just flipped that one up there, and Matt. Man, he can hit some moonshots, can he? Nice tack-on run there to give yourself a little more breathing room. And for him, two behind Ohtani.
That's right, Frenchie. Matt Olson did give the Braves a little extra breathing room. They wouldn't need it, though. 3-0 would be the final score. Braves improve to 53-27. 24 games over 500. So, actually 26 games, excuse me, over 500. Need four more to get to 30 games over 500. Math is hard sometimes. But the Braves, everything's looking easy for them right now. Again, another win. And they now go into a very, very important matchup on Friday, taking on the Miami Marlins, who are second in the NL East standings. To give you some updated NL East standings, the Braves right now, 6.5 games up on the Marlins. The Marlins at 47-34. The Phillies right now, 10.5 games back in third place at 42-37. The Mets now 17 games back, 36-44. And the Washington Nationals 21 games back in last place in the NL East at 32-48. So this is your chance. They're 6.5 games back. You have a chance to really stick your foot on the necks of the Miami Marlins. You have a chance to put the NL East not completely to bed, but you're going to be reading them a bedtime story. The fat lady ain't going to be singing, but she's going to be nice and warmed up and ready to sing. So take this opportunity, Atlanta. Continue to assert your dominance in the NL East. Show the Marlins why you are the best team in baseball. Do not give them any hope. Big three-game set coming up for the Atlanta Braves, and it starts on Friday. Michael Soroka, by the way, could be getting the start on Friday. This report coming from, actually, this has been announced by the Atlanta Braves, that they have optioned Jared Schuster to AAA Gwinnett following yesterday's game. This does open the door for Michael Soroka to possibly start on Friday. But Brian Snicker did say they're not going to announce the starter until Friday morning. He said that yesterday during his post-game press conference. So we won't know who the starter is until tomorrow. But it is well believed that the starter will be Michael Soroka and he will return. And look, hopefully he has a good start Friday against the Marlins. Help us help the Braves get a win. And he can stay up this time. He got two starts last time he was up. Had to go back down, fix some mechanical issues. And hopefully this time he can stay up and be successful for the Atlanta Braves and stay up for the rest of the season. But we shall see. But the Braves, big, big, big series on Friday starting against the second place Miami Marlins. All right, I told you the Falcons made some front office changes. This was announced yesterday, and this is from AtlantaFalcons.com. Director of Player Personnel Kyle Smith has been promoted to Assistant General Manager. The team announced on Wednesday Smith has been an integral and valued part of the scouting staff that has been successful, bringing in NFL draft picks and free agents while overseeing the college and pro scouting department. So he's had his hand in bringing in the rookies, bringing in the free agents. The guys like Calais Campbell, Caden Ellis, David Onyemata, and the rookies like Matthew Bergeron and things of that nature. So Kyle Smith getting promoted to assistant general manager, and that means senior personnel executive Ryan Pace, who also played a major role in pro scouting since coming aboard to the Atlanta Falcons, he now moves into Smith's previous role as director of player personnel. So, and if you didn't know, Pace and Fontenot worked together with the New Orleans Saints before Pace's stint as the Chicago Bears general manager. So some front office moves and some front office promotions, some well-deserved ones coming from the Atlanta Falcons. And look, they've shown they've drafted some good good prospects. I mean, you got Tyler Allgeier, who looks like a RB1 caliber running back. You got him in the fifth round. Kyle Pitts, even though injured, looks like he definitely, I mean, that pick was a little hard to miss, but he looks like he's going to be an all-pro talent. Drake London. Again, Matthew Bergeron looking good so far. So, they've been impressed, and they're getting their shot to get promoted and move on up in the world. So, the Atlanta Falcons making some moves there. I quickly want to go back to the Atlanta Braves because, again, big series coming up against the Miami Marlins. And say Soroka does go on Friday, tomorrow. I want to ask you this. Are you happy the Braves didn't start Soroka on Wednesday? Because there was a little bit of confusion as to why the Braves didn't start Soroka yesterday during the afternoon game, because they thought that was going to be the play. But if Soroka does start tomorrow, are you happy the Braves actually didn't start him yesterday and are going to start him against the Miami Marlins? I think it's a smart move. Now, we'll see how it plays out on Friday, but I definitely think it was a smart move, and I think it'll work out in their favor. I think they, and again, the Twins have struggled against left-handed pitching. Kobe Allo was a left-handed pitcher, so that was that strategy to it. And look, just to be completely honest, the Miami Marlins are a better team than the Minnesota Twins. Michael Soroka, you would like to think, even with the trials and tribulations that he's been through, probably a little bit better of a pitcher than Colby Allard. And look, that's no disrespect to Colby Allard. He went out and he did his thing yesterday, and he was an integral part in the Braves getting that win and securing that sweep over the Minnesota Twins yesterday. But Michael Soroka, I think you would rather have him starting against the Miami Marlins at this point in time than Colby Allard. So I think that was the right move. And I think we should appreciate that Braves are playing chess, not checkers over here. Again, another one of the reasons they're the best team in baseball. So we'll see how Michael Soroka fares on Friday if he does get the start. But I do think that it is going to turn out to be a good move that you saved Michael Soroka for possibly tomorrow instead of using him yesterday against the Minnesota Twins. All right, it's Around the A on the Hometown Take live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews. I want to move on quickly to the Atlanta Hawks because they have made a little bit more news now. This is something that we've talked about before, and I want to expand upon it just because a little bit more news has been made about it and it's become a little bit more mainstream. Did you see LeBron James? Did you see what he posted on his Instagram story? So LeBron has now gotten word that next year ESPN has Bronny James, obviously his son, mocked as the number 17 overall pick in next year's draft to who? Of course, the Atlanta Hawks. So he screenshotted this, took to Instagram, and put on his story, well, ATL Shawty, the hashtag James Gang, will be pulling up, saying that if the Hawks draft Bronny, you get Bronny and you get LeBron. So after that, NBA Central put a couple of tweets together, put a couple of images together of one, LeBron James's Instagram story, and two, a photoshopped picture of Bronny and LeBron, both in Hawks jerseys. And under that tweet, Trae Young put talk soon with the emoji of a smiley face with the sunglasses on. So Trae Young is aware of it. LeBron James is aware of it. And look, this is all good fun. We don't even know if the Hawks will be in a position to draft Bronny James. If you have the number 17 pick next year, my guy Max Van Aken holding it down behind the glass, he actually made a very good point. It's not good if you have the number 17 overall pick. Kind of means the season was not really a success. Because think, this year you went 41-41. You had the 15th overall pick. The 17th overall pick, you're what, a couple of games over 500? Probably another first-round exit? It's not good. It's not where you want to be. So if you are in position to draft Bronny James at number 17, first of all, the season was a failure, and we probably have a lot of questions. Way more questions than we would have answers at that point in time. And then again, if you really like Bronny James as a prospect, fine. He's supposed to be a good 3-and-D type of player. I don't know what else he'll end up being. We got to see how he progresses in college at USC. But if you're drafting Bronny James just to get LeBron for maybe a year, maybe two, because LeBron is not going to play long after he plays with his son. Again, might play with his son for a year and then be like, okay, I did what I said I was going to do. I played with my son. I'm ready to move on. I'm ready to start the next venture of my life. So you do not want to be drafting Bronny James for just the sake of having LeBron. That's not smart. That's not the Atlanta Hawks doing what's in the best interest of their future. So that's how I feel about it. You can let me know how you feel at underscore Dylan Matthews. All right. When we come back, I want to continue to talk about the Atlanta Falcons because they made the right pick. And this pick that they made, he's going to be the single most important piece on this Atlanta Falcons offense. I'm not talking about who you think I'm talking about. We'll talk about it next. It is the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
This is the Hometown Take.
A look at the top local sports stories
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on a Thursday morning. Hope you are doing well. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters, and Uber drivers. Shout out to my man Jeff out there. Shout out to all my early morning Uber drivers. Hope you're staying safe out there. We have to talk about the Atlanta Falcons because we all know Bijan Robinson is going to be big for this Atlanta Falcons offense. He's going to add a whole nother element. He's going to be a whole nother weapon. He's going to be a whole nother piece that keeps opposing defenses up at night. But he's not, to me, the most important offensive rookie in this draft class for the Atlanta Falcons. Well, you're thinking, well, Dylan, who is it? It's Matthew Bergeron. It's Matthew Bergeron because, number one, he is expected to fill a spot that the Falcons have been trying to fill and get a guy that they can put in pen as their starter for a few years now. Think about it. We know Jake Matthews is going to be the left tackle. We know probably Drew Dahlman is going to be the center. Chris Lindstrom at right guard. Caleb McGarry at right tackle. We just need to solidify that left guard, and we haven't been able to do it now for a few seasons. And Matthew Bergeron is expected to be that guy. And we all know, as Atlanta Falcons fans, how good this Falcons team can be with a good head coach, a good quarterback, weapons, and an offensive line that has continuity. Sound familiar? Think about 2016. What did we have when we went to the Super Bowl? We had a solid coach in Dan Quinn. No shade. But we had a solid coach and a very, very good offensive coordinator in Kyle Shanahan. So maybe that's the only not like-for-like similarity. But the point being, had Dan Quinn and Kyle Shanahan, Matt Ryan, MVP quarterback. Not to say Desmond is going to be MVP this year, but Desmond should be a good quarterback who has a lot of weapons. And Matt Ryan had a lot of weapons. Julio Jones. He had Taylor Gabriel, Austin Hooper, Devontae Freeman, Tevin Coleman. Had plenty of weapons. Mohamed Sanu. What else did that Atlanta Falcons team have? If you remember, they had an offensive line that wasn't even full of first-team All-Pros and Pro Bowlers. But guess what? They had a really good offensive lineman in Alex Mack. We have a really good offensive lineman in Chris Lindstrom. Solid one in Jake Matthews as well. But the most important thing was that offensive line played together for all 16 games. If Matthew Bergeron comes in, does what he's supposed to do, be that starting left guard that he's supposed to be, and look, I know health is something that ties into this and you can't control that. But the point is, Matthew Bergeron comes in and be the guy he's expected to be, and that offensive line can stay healthy, the season could be special. I'm not saying we're going to go to the Super Bowl or anything like that. All I'm saying is the season could be special like that season was special in 2016. You got a good quarterback, we all think. You got weapons, plenty of weapons, more weapons than you probably had in 2016. And if you can get that continuity on the offensive line, if Matthew Bergeron can fill that hole, Falcons are going to be cooking with gas. Now, why should you be confident Matthew Bergeron is going to fill that hole? I'll tell you why. You remember back a month or so ago, the audio had been going around and we got into the Cowboys war room and they were close to drafting Matthew Bergeron their darn selves. Well, guess what? We got to go inside the Panthers war room as they dropped their, finding the name over here, the Panthers blueprint. If you go to the Carolina Panthers the Carolina Panthers YouTube, they're doing a series called the Panthers Blueprint. And on episode 3, they took you inside of the war room behind pretty much every draft pick. And in that episode, it revealed they were also close to drafting Matthew Bergeron.
It's their call. So we're getting one of the two. Wow. We're getting one of the two. It's Mingo or Bergeron, and we're probably going to pick. She gets though.
Sorry to interrupt, guys. The Colts just traded down a second time, and now they just moved down from 38 down to 44. Atlanta just moved up.
Atlanta is now on the clock.
Who's on the clock?
We have got some movement early on here. Rich keeping track of everything for us. Now it is time to find out who the Falcons are taking here.
We had three choices. Mingo was our first choice of those three. So we were really nervous while we're on the clock. Usually I don't get too nervous because we have options. But we saw that there's a little shelf in there. Mingo was there, and so it was kind of like a real relief.
So really the meat of that is in the first part of it. They were either taking Mingo or they were taking Matthew Bergeron. You heard him say it. It's going to be Mingo or Bergeron, one of the two. We're going to get one of the guys after – I think it was Seattle that picked before them. And then if you go watch it, once they see Atlanta moves up and they get the news that Atlanta's traded up to the 38th overall pick, they made that trade with the Colts moving from 44 to 38. They're like, oh, shoot. They didn't say shoot. They said the other word, but I can't say that due to FCC regulations, you feel me? But we're seeing it again. So not only were the Cowboys on the verge of drafting Matthew Bergeron, but the Panthers also wanted Matthew Bergeron. Now, why is this important? It's important because, obviously, this is a dude in Matthew Bergeron that was highly coveted by, we know for a fact, the Cowboys and the Panthers. And I'm sure there were plenty other teams that coveted Matthew Bergeron. Obviously, the Falcons did because they ended up trading up for him to draft him. He's going to be important. And again, I think he is the most important piece when you talk about rookies on this offense. Bijan Robinson is going to be important, yes. He's going to be a difference maker, yes. But you think about it, we got CP, who could be a running back. We got Tyler Allgeier, who could be a running back. CP can run the ball, catch passes out of the backfield. He's not as electric maybe as he once was. And Bijan Robinson is a little bit more spry. I'm not saying Bijan Robinson isn't going to be important, because he is. But think about it. If Matthew Bergeron can provide that continuity on the offensive line that we've been looking for, especially a left guard, that takes this Falcons offensive line and this Falcons team to a whole nother level. Matthew Bergeron, he's not going to be maybe the difference maker Bijan Robinson is. You're not going to see just exactly what Matthew Bergeron is bringing to the table. But guess what? If he fills in, does what he needs to do, and gives the Falcons that reassurance that, okay, we've got our left guard of the future. That's going to be huge, not only for this year, but for years to come. Matthew Bergeron, the most important offensive rookie on the Falcons team this year. Period. Again, you can always let me know what you think at underscore Dylan Matthews. All right, when we come back, we got to talk to the morning shift. See what the homies got up for a Thursday morning. We'll see what they got going on. Tiffany Blackman, Rob Tribble, Mike Johnson. We'll catch up with them next and see what's coming up next on the morning shift right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.